turn your device on, turn in your Bible to the Gospel according to Luke, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 2. And today we're going to look at verses 8 through 14. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. I'm using the New King James Version. This is what it says. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Would you please be seated? This is supposed to be a short message so that you can get on with your day. This narrative that was read for us this morning particularly stands out and is laid upon my heart because it really is a demonstration of the inclusive, unconditional love of God. When we read this narrative, it is a reminder that God's love for us is not limited by social opinions about us or anybody's prejudice against us. His love is unconditional and it's given freely. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. If you are a student to the New Testament, then you know that the gospel according to Luke is set apart because of its inclusivity. Luke intentionally includes parables and people that are not prominently featured in the other gospel narratives. Luke's gospel is inclusive. There are some narratives and parables that are found in the gospel according to Luke that are not found in any other gospels. For example, the widow of Nain. You remember this narrative where this widow was taking her son to the graveyard and Jesus stopped the funeral procession and raised the son. That's only found in the gospel according to Luke. You heard the narrative about the woman who comes into the Pharisee's home while Jesus is having dinner, breaks open an alabaster box full of expensive ointment, pours it on Jesus' feet, and wipes his feet with her hair. That's only found in the gospel according to Luke. Luke includes women the way no other gospel includes women. You remember the story about Mary and Martha. Jesus was at their house and Martha was busy cleaning up, but Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet. This narrative is only found in the gospel according to Luke. And then there are some parables that are only found in the gospel according to Luke because he is inclusive. He wants everybody to know that God loves and includes everybody and that nobody is locked out. There's a parable about a good Samaritan in the gospel according to Luke, the prodigal son, only in the gospel according to Luke. And then there is this parable that I love so much about the Pharisee and the tax collector. They both went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee was a religious man who thought he was righteous, and he lifted up his eyes and prayed. But there was a tax collector who knew he wasn't right, and he wouldn't even lift his eyes. But the Bible says that he smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said that one went justified from the temple rather than the other. Luke is inclusive. He's the only gospel narrative that has Jesus' mission statement. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus' mission statement is only found in the gospel according to Luke. And then Luke highlights Jesus' interaction with social outcasts, with tax collectors and sinners and Samaritans and lepers. And all of these interactions are designed to emphasize the message of God's love and the fact that God includes everybody. Only in the gospel according to Luke do we see the scene of the birth narrative of Jesus as a theme of inclusivity. The angel of the Lord is sent to shepherds who were the first to hear the good news. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds living in the fields, homeless men, likely of low socioeconomic status, unremarkable people, ordinary working folk, exploited laborers. Shepherds were considered ceremonially unclean because of their lifestyle and their work environment. They lived with animals. They worked daily with sheep in the field, away from the amenities of the average home. They didn't have a wash basin, no deodorant, no place to wash out their clothing. They were shepherds living in the field, homeless men, unremarkable people. These shepherds were not welcome in the temple. They were restricted by Mosaic law from participating in religious ceremony due to their ritual impurity. They couldn't go to church because they were too stinky. They couldn't go to the temple because their clothing didn't smell right. Nobody wanted to sit next to a shepherd in church. To become clean, they would have to undergo the required purification rituals outlined in the Mosaic law, which took time. And they didn't have time because they had to work to put food on the table. Shepherds were ostracized. They were excluded, shunned, degraded, alienated, and rejected by organized religion. Nevertheless, God dispatched an angel with a grand message, not to the high priest, not to the preacher or the evangelist or the prophet, not to the Pharisees, nor to the governor or the king. God sent his angel to shepherds who were living out in the fields to deliver both an announcement and an invitation. I don't know about y'all, but I'm through already. Luke's gospel is one of inclusivity. The church is not about sorting out people, about saying who can come and who cannot come. We're not in a position to do that. Only God can do that. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells a parable, doesn't he? About wheat and tares. He says, let the wheat and tares grow together. Don't worry about that. God will sort it out. Because some of the people that you want to reject, God includes. And some of the people that you think God includes, God has rejected. He's a God of inclusivity. God chose to reveal the birth of Jesus to shepherds. And I'm so glad that God identifies with the oppressed, with the exploited, with the left out and the least. He may not change our circumstances right away, but he's always in the circumstances with us. And he speaks and he empowers and he comforts and he alone gives hope. Many of us are here today still standing, not because the circumstances have always been favorable, but we have always had hope. And we know that if God wakes us up in the morning, that he's not finished with us. And every time we get up, we go forward. He's inclusive. Notice that the important message can come from unexpected sources. The word angel in scripture usually means messenger. God speaks in various ways, and it is our responsibility to be open and listening to what God is saying. He has a way of turning your world around. The shepherds on their regular routine was interrupted with a profound and life-changing event. And we can pause right there, because many of us have had our lives turned around just from a word of God. Have I got a witness this morning? Some of it was unexpected. We were in situations that we did not know that God would speak. As a matter of fact, there's a number of you whose back was against the wall, and all you had left was on the line, but you heard from God, and your life was changed, turned around from a word of God. These shepherds, their life was interrupted with a profound, life-changing message. And I wonder how many people here this morning have a testimony. What were you doing when you heard from God? Where were you when you heard from God? What was going on in your life when you heard from God? These shepherds in the text were doing their regular routine. They were watching the flocks, and it was night. These shepherds were the elect of God, and this is important. This is a doctrinal statement. They were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to bear witness to the miraculous birth of the Savior and to receive the new life that he has come to give. God can change your life with just a word. There may be somebody hearing this Christmas message on inclusivity today. And you don't know it yet, but you've been chosen by God for his family. God chose you before the foundation of the world. Before God said, let there be. In Genesis chapter 1, you were already on God's mind. Chosen for salvation before the foundation of the world. And God has kept you alive. And God has kept you aware, so that you can respond to the announcement and the invitation to enter into a life-changing relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ. Like the shepherds in the text, you may feel unworthy because of your past or present circumstances. Society may have labeled you a nobody, and you don't have any friends on Facebook. Organized religion may have declared you unacceptable, unwanted, unclean, and unworthy. But God has a message for you this morning, and it's recorded in scripture from the lips of an angelic messenger. Verse 9, and behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. By choosing to reveal the news of the Messiah's birth to shepherds, God demonstrates a reversal of expectations. All of the scholars of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, they would have known what God would do. They were so sure. Pharisees and Sadducees, the experts of the law, the interpreters and exegetes of the Torah, thought that God would honor their standard. They thought that they were the custodians of God's word, but they were not, because only God is God. His love is profound. His mercy is everlasting. His compassions, they fail not. His wisdom is unsearchable. His grace is amazing. His wrath is just. His presence is constant. His truth is unchanging. And his son is Jesus. Only God is God. Men try to put God in a box. They think they have God under control. Some men are so arrogant that they think they can speak for God and that their word is the last word. I want you to know that God's vastness and God's glory transcends all human understanding and limitation. God's ways and thoughts are above man's thoughts, as high as the heavens are above the earth. Nobody knows God completely. God does what he wants to do. God does it when he wants to do it. He accepts whom he wants to accept, because nobody can control God. I listen to some scholars who think they have God in a box. I listen to some scholars who would make you think that they live with God in heaven. But the Bible says all have sinned. The biblical scholars of Jesus' day were learned men. They had studied the prophecies of the birth of Jesus. They knew Isaiah 6. They knew Isaiah's prophecy about the birth. And they were so smart that when Jesus showed up, they missed him. The one that they were so sure that their intellects had grasped, they missed him, because nobody can tell you what God can and cannot do. They missed him. God sent a message to shepherds who couldn't read. They didn't have any scrolls, couldn't afford it. They didn't go to school to learn to read, couldn't afford it. They didn't know the intricacies of biblical prophecy. They didn't understand the technique of exegesis. All they knew is that God had said that one day he'll send a Messiah. And they lived outside, and God sent to them a direct message, an invitation. Shepherds, they were included. The choice of shepherds to receive the message of Jesus is reflective of God's grace. And that's the Christmas gift that God gives to us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of Christmas unto you. That's a plural pronoun. Unto you. It's all inclusive. Unto you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your situation, unto you, whatever your station in life, wherever you were last night, unto you, rich, poor, in between, male, female, undecided, whatever your race or religion, unto you, God has sent a gift. It is the gift of life. And that more abundant, not necessarily material abundance, but abundant life. I'm so glad that I have that life. I am so glad this morning that even though I don't know what tomorrow may bring, and I don't have enough in my bank account to make me live another 6 months, but I do know that somebody is with me. I know that if I have God with me and I have faith in him, I know that he will make a way. I don't know about the abundant material life. I don't drive a Bentley. I don't have a fine house on a hill. I just got the regular amenities of life. But I'm so glad that if all of that was taken away right now, I still have somebody that I can trust in. Have I got any witnesses this morning? I have somebody who brought me this far by faith, and I don't believe that he will leave me. I am so glad this morning that I've got a God who is able to keep me in his care. Abundant life, the gift of grace. Thank God for the gift. Unto you this day, you sad and feeling left out, unto you. You ain't got nothing under your Christmas tree. You don't even have a Christmas tree. Unto you. There are people who are homeless waiting in shelters for a meal. Even unto them, this day has been given Christ the Lord. He gives abundant life for now. He gives the power for living. He gives creativity to make it work in your life. He gives you imagination. He gives you strength. He provides opportunities so you can get out if you ain't too lazy. He gives you the wisdom to use what you have to make ends meet until you can do better. Have I got a witness this morning? Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. The shepherds had to go back to work, but they went back to work different people. Unto you, God is doing something very special. He gives you abundant life. He gives you opportunities now. He gives you with strength and opportunities and brain power. He gifts you, but you have to go get it. The shepherds received the message, but they had to go see it. A lot of people receive the message and never move. You receive the message, but you're too lazy to act. You hear from God, but you're too complacent to go. God gives instructions, but you're too stubborn to follow. The gift is given. You are included, but you got to move. He gives abundant life and he gives eternal life. Because you're not going to live in that body always. There's going to come a time when God will call your name and you will answer. It is appointed for men to die, and after that, the judgment. You are going to die and you are going to stand before God. The gift that God has given in Jesus Christ is not only the gift for abundant life now. It is not only strength for today, imagination to create something for yourself today, but also the gift of eternal life. Heaven is yours through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Won't you stand with me?